In Parsha Shmos, we are introduced to Moshe, eventually becoming Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the Jewish people. So it seems a little shrouded in mystery. Why exactly was Moshe picked? It doesn't. There's no pasuk. There's no verse in the Bible telling us God picked Moshe because of X, Y, and Z. So what exactly was behind the choice of Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe we could find some hints in the Torah of why Moshe Rabbeinu was picked. So on one hand, we see that we find three events that Moshe Rabbeinu is involved in. And we find the event that there were two Jews fighting. He was involved. He got involved. There were two Gentiles fighting. He got involved. Jew and Gentile combined, he got involved. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu got involved in all situations. And in fact, not only with people, but there's the famous midrash with the animals. The animal ran away, it was tired, and Moshe Rabbeinu carried the animal. So we see at first glance that Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned for the whole world, and obviously especially the Jewish people. So if we look on a deeper, if we look closer into the text, it says, Vayigdal Moshe, and Moshe grew up, Vayar, he went out and he saw the pain, he saw the suffering of his people, Vayar Ish Mitzri, and he saw an Egyptian person beating his Yiddish brother. And it says, Vayar ki einish, so he went ahead, he intervened and killed the Egyptian. So we find this, the word Vayar a lot throughout, that Moshe saw. And also we find a similar word by Hashem, when Hashem says, when at the burning bush by the Sneh, he decided to free the Jewish people. He said, Ra'o Ra'isi, I've seen the affliction of the Jewish people. Just like with Moshe, here too by Hashem, the Torah repeatedly mentions what was seen. And the lesson is that when Rashi explains and others, that when the Torah says Vayar and you see, it's not just talking about literally seeing. You know, we see a lot of things. But you see it and you internalize it. It's an emotional form of seeing. And therefore, he went out and he actually shared the pain, which is obviously extra remarkable because of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, that's how some explain it, Yonis and Eipshitz and others. Why was Shevet Levi allowed not to work? Shevet Levi, which is the religious group, the people who took care of the religious matters, why did Paro let them not work? So some want to claim maybe they respected royalty, respected religion. Others say no. He didn't care about that. He had his own selfish motives. He realized that if the Jewish leaders are involved, if I inflict pain on them and they're suffering and then the slaves, so they're going to get the people to rebel. But if I make them comfortable in the country club, and okay, so they hear about it, but they don't actually see it as much, so therefore I'll remain safe forever. So he underestimated the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the palace and he had the best life of anyone. Nevertheless, when he went out and he saw the suffering of his people, he went out and he felt the pain. So we see the seeing of the pain. Ro Ra'isi, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at the Sneh, and so too, that's how I was by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. But there's an additional point as well, that it wasn't enough that they saw, but you know, a lot of people see something and they think, okay, great, let's move on. Here, but seeing with your heart and feeling is important, but the most important thing is that it has to lead to lemaisa. You have to actually do something. As the commentators explain, we have the famous pasuk we read at the end of benching, Nara Isi Gam Sakanti Lora Isi Sadik Neza. I've been young, I've been old, and I've never seen a righteous person forsaken. So the kasha is obviously you have to get out more. Who hasn't seen a righteous person forsaken, as the saying goes, good deeds never go unpunished, and certainly in bad deeds seem to get rewarded. So what do you mean, I haven't, what does David HaMelech mean, King David? So the answer is, of course David saw good people suffering, but David saying is, Lo Ra'isi, doesn't mean there's never a time where I saw someone under pain or an injustice and I didn't do something to help the person. That's what it means. And that's as well, we find the language by Esther. When she asked Ahasuerus to save the Jews, she says, how can I see the pain of my brothers and sisters and not do anything about it? We see, and in fact, that's what we see by the Jewish midwives, Shifra and Pua, that we know that they were told by the most important person in the world to make, if it's a male, kill it, if it's a woman, let it live, and yet they disobeyed their orders. So what do we see the Torah write? They just answer, Hebrew women aren't like Jewish women. They are vigorous, give birth before. That was a nonchalant answer. And that's the same type of actions that saved many people and during the Holocaust, that you went ahead. And in fact, what's often the most remarkable is that people who do these things view themselves as, oh, of course I'm going to do it. How could I not do it? As opposed to viewing themselves as heroes. And in fact, it finally happened after 3,000 years after the midwives in 1946, the Nazi war criminals on trial at Nuremberg all offered the defense, well, that was the law. What do you want? I was just obeying orders. And every government has a right to issue. Yet the Nuremberg principle gave substance to what the midwives already understood, that only moral orders should be obeyed. But if they're immoral, so we know by definition, moral law transcends the order and you don't do it. And that's what we see from our great leaders from the time of, this is the lesson of Moshe's selection. From the greatness of, from Moshe to David to Esther, that is the lesson, that if we're suffering, if we see the suffering of others, we must go out and help. And to conclude, there's a famous story they say over with one of the Chassidus Rebbeim and the Baal Tanya, different stories that they say he was studying, he was there with his son and his, and there was a baby they just had. So this baby was over here, the son was in this room, and the grandfather was in the room further away. So the story goes that the Baal Tanya heard the baby crying, so he stopped his learning and he went ahead and took care of the baby. So on the way back, he stopped off to his son and said, what are you doing? Why didn't you take care? Why didn't you hear your baby crying? Why don't you take care of him? To that, the son responded, No, I didn't hear. I didn't hear my baby crying. To that, the Baal Tanya said that learning Torah, not feeling, not hearing the cry of another Yid, there's something wrong with your learning. So when you become a Jewish leader, it has to be that you, not only as is by Moshe Rabbeinu, that you see the pain and you feel it and you act upon it.